Because let me tell you, just like when I go to a movie, I'm a pretty loud guy. And as you know, if you've been to this church, I'm a loud guy. And some of the things that had to take place in that ER yesterday really hurt. And one nurse even said, man, I haven't heard something like that except from a two-year-old. So, but man, I was like, ooh, there was some pain when he was cleaning it, putting a needle and I mean, it just, all kinds of stuff was gnarly. And I'm telling you this morning, I'm not going to be done with it, but it doesn't hurt anything like it did yesterday, and I am very thankful for that. So now I'm going to preach. Nine-fingered preacher this morning in the name of Jesus. So, good morning to you, church. I'm glad that you're here. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. See, the month of October has been a great one at First Open Bible. We, here at First Open Bible, we have monthly themes. God told me to do this last year, and it's been a blessing. What happens is I usually pray a month before. We get together, we pray about it, we think about it, we see what the flow of the Holy Spirit is saying and doing, and we even have a monthly theme for next month, but I'm still praying about December, and they just kind of come like that. But this month's theme has been honor, and it has been a wonderful and wonderful theme. And I pray that you've been blessed. Have you been blessed and challenged by this month's theme, honor? Amen? Five people, amen, amen. Rest of y'all, we got a podcast, and I'd encourage you to go ahead and get on the website and listen so you can be challenged, amen. I just want to recap real quick the first 3 weeks. The first week, we started the month off 3 weeks ago by giving honor where honor is due. We learned about what is godly honor and how do we show it. Then we celebrated with Pastor Stevens, who's our pastor emeritus. He's our retired pastor here for 50 years of ministry with Open Bible. And we gave him a plaque from the national office, which I found and hid and pretended I didn't know about. And we presented it to him, and then we had a reception for him in the fellowship hall, and it was awesome. It was a wonderful celebration together as a church family. Amen? It was great. It was a wonderful time. And then 2 weeks ago, y'all blessed us. You blessed us with a pastor appreciation service and a gift of a family cruise. We are so excited. We're going to go at the end of January with our family. It's going to be amazing. Thank you. What's super exciting is my parents that live in Oregon are actually flying all the way to Miami to meet us, and they're going to go with us, and they are so stoked. And what's super cool, my kids aren't in here. Remember, they know about the cruise, but they don't know it's a Disney cruise until I present it to them, my wife and I, at Christmas from a present from the church to them. So my parents got married 40 years ago, 2020 would be 40 years, and they went to Disney World for their anniversary. So a Disney cruise is kind of a cool celebration for them on their 40th as well with us. So it's just so cool how God works things out like that. Amen? Last week, God reminded us to never treat anyone with dishonor. Do not treat them as common, ordinary, or menial, especially ourselves. Why? Because we are first and foremost children of God. And we cannot treat children of God with dishonor. We must honor God by never losing the wonder of being a kid of the kingdom. Amen? 1 John 3:1 says, see how very much our Father loves us, that he called us his children, and that is what we are. So I want to ask you, church, who do you honor and how do you honor? Do you get your understanding of honor from God or from the world? Because I got some bad news for you. The world's honor is meaningless and it's short-lived. Even with fame and wealth and awards and popularity and even the power of the world, the Bible teaches us that the world's honor is meaningless. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 14 says this, I observed everything going on under the sun, and really? It's all meaningless, like chasing the wind. See, we're reminded also of the Pharisees. See, this speaks to us, church, because a lot of us can say, yeah, I get it. I don't want the world's honor, even though maybe we struggle with it a little bit. But I get this one. We have to remember what it was like with the Pharisees in the time of Jesus, who sought honor and accolades of men. They wanted the world's honor. See, that's not God's honor. Jesus rejects this type of honor. If you are doing what you are doing, even on a Sunday morning, to get accolades from men, that is not the honor of the Lord. Honor is a serious thing to God, and if honor is tainted by our flesh or by the world, it will be condemning and it will be destructive. So I want us to finish strong. This is the last one before we move on. Can you believe next week is December? I'm sorry, November? Oh, I can't believe it because it's a lie, Pastor. November. I don't want to hurry this up. White demon is coming. That's called snow, in case you're new with us. Oh, that was for my lady, right? Amen. Next week is November. It's hard to believe. Life goes quick. The word says life is fleeting. It's like a blink of an eye. But what's very important, church, is to learn. Don't just come and listen to a sermon and God gives me hours to prepare a message for you. And why is that? Because he loves you and he wants to grow you and encourage you. But why else? Because a lost and dying world must hear a message, not from maybe a Sunday morning, but from a disciple of Christ Monday morning, right? Or Tuesday afternoon, or Thursday evening, or whatever it is that you have an opportunity. Life is fleeting, church. Life is going quick, so we must take hold of what God says about honor, because it is extremely important to the Lord. I want us to finish strong, and I want us to raise the bar of honor in our everyday lives. See, the only way to walk in true honor is to first and foremost always, always, always honor God. Enduring honor, what does that mean? It's one that lasts. It is only found in valuing the Lord above anything or anyone. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of, say it, church, everything. Okay. I'm going to read it again, and then when I say it, church, we're going to say everything together because it's right there on the screen. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of, say it, church, everything you produce. Everything. We must value, esteem, respect, and reverence the Lord above anything or anyone. And if we don't, we dishonor God. That's simple. If we choose sin over what God is saying, it's dishonoring him. In the New Testament, it says, if you knew what was right and you didn't do it, that's sin. And what is sin? Dishonoring the Lord. See, God's the great king, the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He is worthy to receive all of our respect, not just a portion of it. I hope you don't look like Sunday morning only on Sunday morning. Picking up what I'm laying down. I hope you don't look like Sunday morning just on Sunday morning. It's a little different. I get it. When you're in corporate worship, the presence of God is powerful. It is awesome to worship, right? I don't got this worship band. I don't have maybe the pastor preaching at me. I don't have these things and prayer partners maybe all the time. But that doesn't mean God's presence leaves you. That doesn't mean there's not an opportunity to honor him. That doesn't mean you can't worship him. That doesn't mean you can't listen to the word of God, even if it's out of your own mouth reading it out loud. Honor is so, so very important to the Lord. See, last week the Lord challenged us through the words of the prophet Malachi. He told us and reminded us to not honor or obey physical things over the Lord. See, this is a very important thing to remember, church. Very important. If you honor things or people above God, that's dishonoring him. If we choose to honor the physical things over God, then we've stepped into a fading honor. And what is a fading honor? That's called idolatry. Will you open your Bibles you don't have a Bible, there's one either below you if you're in the front or in front of you. We provided a Bible in each pew. There should be at least two of them. That's the NLT version. Please open your Bibles. We're going to the Old Testament this morning on 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, if you don't know where that's at, there's a glossary in the front that can help you out and find it in the Old Testament, the first part of the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I want to tell you while you're looking that up. There's this man, his name is Eli. And who was Eli? He was the head priest in the Old Testament. He was given charge over the tabernacle. What is the tabernacle? It's like a church. It's where they come and worship God. And it's where God's presence is. See, in the Old Testament, that's where God's presence is. It's at the tabernacle. And now where's God's presence? Come on, tabernacles. I gave you a great hint there. Amen. It's in us, right? But back then, Eli was a very important person because he was given charge over the tabernacle during the days of Samuel's childhood. Eli's sons were scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord. They didn't have any respect for his people. They didn't have any respects as their duties as being priests of the tabernacle themselves. They would take the best of the offerings for themselves, right? It'd be like me getting in these right here and just taking these home. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for giving to the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and take this home, right? Thank you. Thank you so much. Scoundrels. They took the best of the best, not for God, but for themselves. And if somebody complained, Pastor, you can't take that from the offering. I was giving that to the Lord. What did they do? Eli's sons would take it by force. Eli was aware of his sons' disgusting behavior with the offerings. Eli was also aware about their seducing of the young women who served in the entrance of the tabernacle as well. All right, 1 Samuel, are you there? 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 23. I'm going to read two verses, and then we're going to keep going on, and we're just going to read a story in God's word about honor. Eli said to them, 1 Samuel 2, 23 and 24. Eli said to them, I've been hearing reports from all the people about the wicked things you are doing. He's talking to his sons. Why do you keep on sinning? You must stop, my sons. The reports I hear from the Lord's people are not good. So Eli, he confronted them. Yes, he did. But he continued to allow his sons to serve as priests. Why? Why would Eli do that? I think it's because if you keep reading and you dig into this story, I think you find out why. Because Eli benefited from his gluttonous eating habits by his son's spoils from the offerings of the people. See, remember back in those days, they didn't always bring money. They brought offerings and animals. And what are you supposed to bring to the Lord? You don't bring animals that are blind or three legs or nine fingers, right? You don't bring things like that. You bring unblemished things. You bring the best of the best. It says that's why we come and bring tithes and offerings. It's the best. We bring the best to God. We bring the best to him. And so he was getting all these things. He's like, I know we're supposed to sacrifice this on the brazen altar. I get that. But you know what? I want me a big old leg today, right? I'm hungry. I think I'm going to cook it on the altar for me. Wicked, wicked, wicked thing. See, Eli's own sin was being satisfied by his son's dishonoring behavior. Eli should have honored God. Eli should have done, come on now, the right thing instead of the easy thing. Do you ever follow up? See, you might confront somebody about something, but do you follow up? Or do you allow it to keep going? See, Eli should have removed his wicked sons and replaced those priests with righteous men who have served God and God's people with honor and true hearts. They should have been in positions of honor. But he didn't. So God sent a prophet. God sent a word to Eli. Let's go to verse 27. We're going to read through 29. One day a man of God came to Eli and gave him this message from the Lord. I revealed myself to your ancestors when they were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. I chose your ancestor Aaron from among all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to order sacrifices on my altar, to burn incense, and to wear the priestly vests he served me. And I assigned the sacrificial offerings to your priests, to you priests. So why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you give your sons more honor than you give me? For you and they have become fat from the best offerings of my people, Israel. See, God speaks to Eli and says, you have chosen to honor your sons more than you've chosen to honor me. You have chosen pleasure and benefit over integrity and reverence. And because of that, there is no reward. And because of that, there will be great loss. Let's keep reading, verse 30 through 36. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I promised that you, branch of the tribe of Levi, would always be my priests, but I will honor those who honor me, and I'll despise those who think lightly of me. Man, this gets intense, just so you know. The time is coming when I'll put an end to your family, so you'll no longer serve as my priests. All the members of your family will die before their time. None of them will reach an old age. You will watch with envy as I pour out prosperity on the people of Israel, but no member of your family will ever live out their days. The few not cut off from my serving at my altar will survive, but only so their eyes can go blind and their hearts break, and their children will die a violent death. And to prove that what I have said to come true, I will cause your two sons, Phoni and Phinehas, to die on the same day. Then I will raise up a faithful priest who will serve me and do what I desire. I will establish his family, and they will be my priests to my anointed kings forever. Then all your surviving family will bow before them, begging for money and food. Please, they will say, give us jobs among the priests so we will have enough to eat. Whoa. That's intense. But we can see how important honor is to God. See, I'm thankful for the grace. See, we live in the age of grace. That was the age of the prophets. We live in the age of grace because Jesus Christ came. I'm thankful for his grace, for all the times I honored someone else above honoring God. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. But I'm thankful for his grace. See, in these verses I just read, God said he would raise up a faithful priest who would obey God over pleasing himself. He would obey God over pleasing other people. Church, this is called true honor. This is called God honor. This kind of honor comes with a promise given to the new priest that would replace Eli, a promise that his descendants would never lose their place. They would have abundance and they would have blessings. See, honor can be godly obedience, and God's word says obedience is greater than sacrifice. And why is that? That's because honor and obedience comes from a heart of sacrifice. All right, let's talk about honoring God through sacrifice. Let's talk about that for a moment. See, there's this man in the Old Testament. His name's Abram, later to be called Abraham. And this man named Abraham shows us that he was willing to go up a mountain and sacrifice his most prized possession, his son Isaac, to Yahweh in honor. Abraham loved his promised son more than anything or anyone else. He waited a long, long, long time for this promise. But God requested Abraham to honor over his possession. What an incredible confrontation that must have took place in Abraham's heart at that moment when God said, give me your son, sacrifice him to me. I can't imagine what was going on. But what happened? Above all, Abraham chose honor. What do you love more than God? What do you love more than God? What is God asking you right now to honor him over a possession or a person? See, maybe lately in your life it's felt like you've been climbing up a mountain and you've been really struggling. Maybe it's because God is telling you when you reach the top of that mountain, he wants you to sacrifice that thing to him in honor. And if you do, do like Abraham did in Genesis 22:3. It says, the next morning Abraham got up early. Do not hesitate. Honor God more than anything else. And church, do it quickly. Do it quickly. Do it quickly. Everybody, breathe in real quick. You weren't promised that. God is keeping you here right now. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised that next breath. If you know there's something that you must sacrifice on the altar of honor, you must do it before God and do it quickly. Because if you do, God will recognize it. Genesis 22:12 says, don't lay a hand on that boy. Stopped him. The angel said, do not hurt him. See, it's one thing to walk up a mountain and lay something on the altar. It's another thing to pull that knife out of the sheath and just go for it. See, we might be a lot of words. There might even be a little action behind it, but where's the follow through? Where's the follow through? Verse 16, this is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my name, that I will certainly bless you. That's Genesis 22:15 and 16 and 17. God is going to bless him because he did not withhold his son from him, because true honor, enduring honor, is a byproduct of holy fear. Genesis 22:12 says, don't lay a hand on that boy. The angel said, do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear, you truly honor God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. God doesn't need your possessions on the altar. You do. You need your possessions on the altar of honor. Let's keep reading in Genesis chapter 22. We'll read verses 15 through 18 this time. See, the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld your son, even your only son, I swear by my name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond the number, like the stars in the sky, like the sand on the seashores. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. Verse 18. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All because you have obeyed. All because, Abraham, you have honored me. Honor the Lord, church. Honor the Lord, church. Honor the Lord, and you will be blessed. And you will be blessed. Honor him through your sacrifice. Honor him through your obedience. And do it with holy fear. See, following Jesus, right? You're a follower of Christ, say hallelujah. Following Jesus and honoring God will not always be easy. This is truth. It will not be always easy. It comes with eternal and temporal promises, but following Jesus was never intended to be a cakewalk. If you've been given some bad theology, or you've parked your faith in the prosperity camp for too long, you've settled your heart on something that does not honor God. Instead, it honors you. And it honors things above all. Church, you know what that's called? It's called idolatry. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about what I get. And not about honoring the Lord through sacrifice and obedience with holy fear. That is called idolatry. Anything above God, you've made that an idol. Anyone, right? There's some parents in here that idolize their children. You let your children run the house. You let your children make all the decisions. You let your children get away with whatever instead of disciplining them in honor to our God. There'd be too many. We already got too many brats up in this world, man. We don't need some more, right? Amen. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Aisle 3, check stand 4, right? I want stand, candy. Okay, let's get it to you so you stop, right? No, I said no. That's it, right? And I don't know if you agree with this or not, but this is what we do, and God's word says it. I said no, and if you don't do it, we go home. You get a pow pow. You want a pow pow, right? Nobody wants a pow pow. How many of y'all have had a pow-pow from the Lord, though? Mm-hmm. Y'all better raise your hand. If you haven't, you ain't listening. Because he's about to bring a pow-pow. And his hand is big. That covers the whole booty. Bam! Pow-pow. What am I saying? Finger talking, I think, maybe. I'm going to blame it on the finger. No, but that's real. That's for real. That's for real. Honor the Lord above all. Over your emotions, over your feelings, over people in your life, over decisions, over your possessions, over your own sin. Honor God. Honor God. Honor God. Honor God. Honor God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers." If you're interested in just keeping the peace, you might not be fit for the honor and the love of God's kingdom. Did Jesus just keep the peace? He straight wrecked the place in honor of our God. Didn't he? I mean, physically, he did, right? Remember the temple? It's like, oh, really? Yeah, oh, you want to bet and you want to do some gambling and you want to do some stuff on God's house, the house of prayer? Guess what? Boom! Get it out of here! Get it out of here! Get it out of here! And then didn't he take a whip? Am I remembering that right? Man, a whip, right? He probably had to make one unless he got one, right? And he's sitting around just making a whip. He's like, yeah. Now you just keep going. You're good. You're good. About to come. Here comes the pow pow, right? Pow, pow, pow. We always do three. No more, no less. Three, three. Bam, bam, bam. Pow, pow. Here it is. See, selfishness usually motivates peacekeeping. A heart with holy fear is motivated to be a peacemaker. Eli, he was a peacekeeper. He allowed a compromised truth of his sons and his own sin to ruin his life. Did you catch that? He didn't only ruin his life, he ruined generations and generations. Come on now, generations and generations. Maybe your obedience with God and maybe your honor with God needs to happen now so you can save generations and generations of your own family to come from heartache and brokenness. Eli was a peacekeeper. He allowed a compromised truth so he could keep on sinning from his sons. He maintained a false sense of peace. Man, you heard that. Can't we all just get along? Can't we all just coexist? And that bumper sticker whack, right? Coexist. I mean, you can try right now, but let me tell you, every knee and every tongue is going to confess and bow one day that Jesus Christ is Lord, and not everything's going to coexist. That is a false sense of peace. What I do, if it doesn't physically hurt you, I can do whatever I want because it's my decision. I'm sorry, when I follow Jesus, I no longer am about me. I'm about the honor of the Lord. Everything I do honors God. And if I'm going to do something because I want to, because I have a false sense of peace, this is how God made me, right? This is just a license to sin, however you want. No, God made you free from that, and you need to get out of that, and you need to honor the Lord with all things. Maybe you need to lay that on the altar that you think that is full of peace, but it's full of bondage. That's what that is. Okay, now I'm preaching. See, that's a false sense of peace that Eli had because he wanted to be a peacekeeper in his life, and he dishonored God. And sadly, what happened? Great tragedy. Great tragedy. See, Abraham was a peacemaker. He obeyed the Lord, even with the potential sacrifice of his greatest treasure. God, I don't want to. I don't want to. Everything in me says no, but I will honor you, God. I will honor you. I will honor you even to the death of my own son. Sound like somebody else you know. God followed through. See, Abraham was a peacemaker. See, with that he blessed, because of his honor to the Lord, he blessed more than just himself and his generation. It says Abraham's honor blessed the whole earth. And guess what? It's still blessed because of his honor to this day. Godly honor doesn't compromise truth for someone else's request. Peacemakers confront, right? Hallelujah. Now, husband and wife, don't you go home and said, now, pastor said I got to confront you, so here it is. I'm going to lay it down, right? That's not what I'm saying. Don't you get in some marital things and you got to call me tomorrow morning and Monday's just a giant mess because y'all took it out of context. What I'm saying is this. Allow God to rule everything that you do. And if you must confront the things that need to be confronted, don't shy away from it. Don't be like Eli where he just speaks about it and doesn't do any follow through. See, we're good, Christians. We're good at saying the right things, but we're bad with follow through. And how do I know that? That's because there's a whole city right now that is not saved because God has told us to do things in honor, even in our own sin, and we haven't done them. But we know the right verses, but we might not follow through them. But God is saying follow through them, and he's going to bless not only our life, not only our generations, but our city and our neighborhood to come. We got to honor God in all things. All things. And sometimes you got to confront. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is peace. But in order to have peace, true peace, we have to at times be confrontational in order to honor God above all. Jesus did it. He could have been a peacekeeper, right? Peacekeeper, and the devil says, I'll give you all this. You know what? I'm not really feeling it today. I don't really want to get into it with you today, so I think I'll go ahead and bow down to you. It'd be nice to have all this in the world, right? Oh, you know, I am hungry. Those rocks, they look pretty tasty, right? I think there'll be nice bread. You know, maybe it's like a bread bowl from Panera or something, right? You can hook me up with that. Jesus was a peacemaker, and he confronted and said, nah, you're wrong. And the Bible says this. My God, my Father says this, and the Word of God says this, and the Word of God says this. That's not right. You think it's right. That's false peace. Here's true peace. God's Word says this. I want to reemphasize what I said last week. Most of the time, it's easier to honor the one we face. It is easier to honor man. It's easier to honor somebody in the physical, right? If I can see you, that's easy. What's really, really hard is to honor the ones we can't see. To honor God or the supernatural. It's harder to do that. That's real. But we got to set up boundaries, godly convictions in our lives. What will happen if we do that? It'll regulate our responses. It'll regulate our decisions and our reactions in life. Let me tell you something. Can I be honest for a moment? And I just want to say something. When I cut my finger and it was squirting, back in the day, I wouldn't have said good words. That's truth. But because I've honored the Lord from year and year and year, man, what was coming out? I was shandarumbumbumbum. I'm praying in tongues like I don't know what to do. See, that is the glory of God in my life. I even did it in the nurses and the doctor who was stitching me up and pulling me, and I'm just, right? It's just all kinds of a mess. It was ridiculous. But what I'm saying is this, is there's got to be follow through. You have to read God's word. You have to get in his word. You have to understand his word. You have to follow him. And through those things, what you set up in your life is when things happen in life, you have things in place where you still honor God. You don't fall back into the sin. You don't fall back into backsliding. You don't fall back into doing the things that you did before. You honor God going forward. Amen? Amen. Got to set up godly convictions and godly boundaries in our lives. So that way, if someone, even somebody you might love dearly, see, this happens all the time. Teenagers, listen to this. You're going to fall in love with somebody, right? You're going to think it's love, and they're going to try to entice you, especially ladies right now. Actually, girls are pretty aggressive now. Either one. I mean, it's all kinds of a mess out there because the world's just lies, man. It's just a bunch of lies, right? And so they're going to come to you, and there's going to be people trying to entice you, trying to convince you of things. And you have to have godly things in your life where you set up a boundary. I'm sorry, I will not cross that. No matter how much I love you, I am not going to sin in this relationship. I can't do that. Because guess what? A lot of times, the love that you think that you have, church, it's the same thing with us. A lot of times, the love that we think we have, it's fleeting, it's failing, and it falls apart, and then all of a sudden, I don't even like them anymore, right? You're like mad at them, and they're saying all kinds of bad stuff. And what did you give up? What did you sacrifice to them that you should have sacrificed to God? Amen? See, we got to be careful. See, when we set things up, there's people in our lives even that you love dearly. There might be a spouse. It might be your granddaddy or even your mom or your uncle or your best friend or whoever it is. If they try to ask or entice or try to persuade you to go against the word of God, you will not honor them over God's wishes if you set things up in honor in your life. It is always, always unwise to honor dishonorable behavior. It is always, always unwise to honor dishonorable beliefs. Because if you do, if you honor those things contrary to the doctrine of Christ, you have just become a partaker of their sin. You've just been a partaker of their dishonor. If you just stand there and take it, and you don't stand up for the Lord, you have now become an accomplice. How do I know that? Even our judicial systems and our laws. Hey man, I was just in the car. I didn't rob nothing. Nah, you're an accomplice. You knew about it. You're going to jail too. You're sitting around that water cooler, you're sitting around wherever, and you're letting all these people talk to you and just talk bad about this person, that person. Your boss sucks. Right, that happens a lot here. But whatever, I'm just playing. But you're just sitting around and you're allowing all this stuff to happen, but you don't stand up in honor for what God says is truth. Hey guys, I'm not going to be a part of this. I feel like we're ragging on them. They're not even here. We're talking about them. I'm not going to be a part of this. I love you, but I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go over here, right? I'm going to go heat up a Hot Pocket. That's what I'm going to do. Right? Amen. We also want a Hot Pocket. That sounds good right now. All right. That wasn't the Holy Ghost. That was the finger, right? That's the finger. Praise God. It's always, always unwise to honor dishonorable behavior. It's always, always unwise to honor dishonorable beliefs. All right, Pastor, you're coming to an end, I hope. Yes, I am, right here. So we must, what must we do, God, or to honor God, Pastor? What must we do to honor God? Tell us. How do we honor him above all? Man, I was praying, I was seeking, and God gave me two major things we need to do. And if you haven't taken notes, and I know a lot of you haven't because y'all been looking at me the entire time, which is awesome. I love the eye contact, but I want you not to forget it when you leave. These are two important things that you might want to write down, okay? I want us to raise the bar of honor in our everyday lives. That's the whole point of this entire month. Number one, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Let me read to you what wisdom is. Proverbs 4, 5 through 8. Proverbs 4, 5 through 8. Get wisdom. Develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. I love this next one. Verse 7 is so cool. I love how the NLT puts it. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. What? I mean, that sounds like a fortune cookie. That's crazy. I mean, that's really good, though. Number 7. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do, and whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Verse 8. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her, and she will, say it, church, honor you. Get wisdom. Wisdom brings honor. What is wisdom? Wisdom comes from, write this down, wisdom comes from, two words, God's word. Wisdom comes from God's word. I want you to read it. I want you to hear it. I want you to study it. I want you to live it. I want it to get in you, right? You have to hide the word in your heart. So when something happens, like you cut your finger or something, good things come out from the springs of your life. What you put in your heart is the overflow of your mouth. Put it in there. Man, I'm facing something today. I don't know what to do. I know what to do. I know what God's word says. I got wisdom, and it's not just in my head, it's in my spirit. Amen. The starting place of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. When we fear the Lord, we will believe and obey the word of God in all areas of our lives. Wisdom from God's word will help us always obey his commands and his precepts. Come on now. The days of reading what you believe in, catch what I said? The days for you reading what you believe in are over. See, that's deceiving yourself. There are people out there saying, I can do this and be this and all this and still be a Christian. That's because you're reading what you believe in. The days of believing what you read are now. For that's the fear of the Lord, which leads to wisdom. Oh, the Bible told me that I just did, that ain't right. Lord, guide me in that, because I always believed that was okay. Apparently that's not from you, that might be from the world. Let me study this out. Does the Bible say anything else about that? Oh, it does. It does. There it is. The Bible proving the Bible. The Bible proving the Bible. Look at that. The Bible tells me about the Bible. Oh, look at that. All of a sudden, I feel set free. Now, I love this verse about that. I'm going to study that. I'm going to pray it, and I'm going to memorize it. Because the next time I face that, because I know I will, because I'm used to that, I'm now, when I face that, I'm going to go back to that word. And if I don't have the Bible with me, I have the Bible with me, because it's in me. And that's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm going to face it. That's how I'm going to get wisdom. Because the world's wisdom is fleeting. The world's wisdom is weak. The world's wisdom changes. Let me tell you, we have some people in here that are about 90 years old. And they, when they were little kids, smoking was good for you. Wisdom. Right? Drinking helped you. Right? It thinned the blood. Yeah. It also got you in jail and messed up your liver. Right? It broke relationships. See, God's wisdom is much different than the world's wisdom. The world's wisdom says something is good, and guess what? Oh, we were wrong. Sorry about that, right? Well, here's a better thing. It just keeps moving and moving. See, the teachings of the world, the Bible says that it's like waves crashing back and forth. What does that mean? There ain't no rhyme or reason. It's just going to keep going. You ain't going to ever be on solid ground. It's just going to keep on going. Starting place for wisdom is the fear of the Lord. We got to stop trying to make Scripture fit into our lifestyle. God's word is life. God's word brings life. God's word guides life. God's word transforms life. God's word teaches us how to honor God in our life above all else. If you walk in obedience to God's word, you will watch yourself be transformed into the great ambassador for the kingdom of God. See, God's word teaches us to live justly, love mercy, walk humbly, and resist sin. God's word teaches us to be quick to repent and to believe. God's word teaches us not to resist godly correction, right? And God's word is truth. And if we love it more than anything else, it'll push our personal pleasures and our personal beliefs down as he is raised up. Number 2 is this, as I close. God's promises honor to those who pursue, here it is, godliness through humility. God will promise us honor by getting wisdom and through humility. Humility is a key ingredient in wisdom, and it's a key ingredient in honor. Proverbs 11:2 says, pride leads to disgrace. Proverbs 11:2. But with humility comes wisdom. We have nothing without the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We have nothing, we are nothing. But because we do, we have the greatest opportunity to honor our Father with all that we are and all that we do. Catch me, church, on this last thing. Humility gives way for reverence. Reverence makes way for honor. And honor makes way for His Spirit to move upon the earth in and through His humble, wise servants. Why do you need wisdom? Here's an easy example. If I had $100 and I knew that you were really good at business, and then I had my son who loves basketball cards right now, I mean, he liked something different a month ago. If I wanted to get the best for my return, who would I give it to? Financially, who has better wisdom? You, who have a business and your business is doing well, right? Then my son. Not like I'm not going to bless him, I'm just using him as an example. But how often do we think that God should give us all these spiritual gifts when we don't have any spiritual wisdom? We want God to bless us, but we haven't honored Him through our sacrifices. We want a revival to happen. I want it with all that I am. I want the church to be revived so our city can be saved. I want it. I want it bad. Why? Because I know Jesus is coming. And when Jesus comes, it's good for us, bad for them. Good for us, bad for them. I want more of us than them. We need a revival. We need it. We need it. And revival won't come until you get wisdom, until you humble yourself. Humble ourselves. And then He'll heal our land. Forgive us, God. Who are we? Who are we? You know how many times I've struggled to come up here and go, I'm the pastor of this church? You serious? But I'm not doing that out of oh, who am I? No. Then I go, yes. Because God has called me to this. I am humble in honoring Him in my life. Who am I to have such a wonderful wife and great kids? Who am I to have these things? Because humbly, I recognize that I don't deserve it, but through Christ Jesus, He gives us blessings. And as long as we don't mess it up and I put something else on that altar, as long as I put my life on that altar, as long as I put things that honor Him on that altar, He will keep honoring and blessing me. That's what we have to do, church. Keep putting the right things on that altar. Keep putting those right things on the altar. One of the most effective ways that a heart changes to honor is through genuine, humble prayers. Now, Brent, I know you're back there. Come on out, brother. And here he comes! Come on out, man. Thank you for honoring me because you were trying to see what was going on. Just asking the Lord what He wants to do. I want you to remember these things. Read God's word and gain wisdom. Also pray daily for God's love, His holy fear, and godly honor. See, if you're to do these two major things in your life, gaining wisdom from God's word, and we say that over and over. I remember being a kid. I remember going to church. I remember being an adolescent. I even remember being in Bible college. Read God's word. I was like, yeah, okay, I get it. But I never did it. And then when I did it, I'm like, what? Why didn't I ever do this? Don't just let that go in one ear and out the other. Read His word. It is for you. Do not rely on me to read it for you. Don't rely on somebody else to read it for you. Don't allow those podcasts or whoever you listen to read God's word. Revelation is for you. You can get it through His word. You don't only have to get it through earbuds or a Sunday morning. Gain wisdom from His word and pray humbly. Now humility is a very tricky thing. Because there's false humility. When you tear yourself down for who you... Remember? one of the most important things that you could ever learn is you're a child of God and you don't dishonor that. If you dishonor yourself by tearing yourself down, that's not humility, that's false humility. You have just said that God did something wrong. Oh, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I'm never gonna be this, I'm never gonna be that. You just told God he did something wrong. You realize that? That's dishonoring him. Humility is saying, Lord, I know I don't deserve it, God, I know. I don't deserve it, but you gave it to me and I'm thankful for it. And now that I know it, what would you have me do with it? What do you want of me? What do you want of my life? What in my life is not laying on that altar of honor that I need to put on there? What in my life must I give to you? What sin do I love more and idolized than I've idolized you? What person have I idolized more than I've idolized you? What thing in this world, what possession I may have that I love more than I love you? Whatever it is, God, I come to you humbly and I ask that you reveal it to me. And as you reveal that to me, God, I pray that I will lay it before you on the altar of honor. If every Christian in every place in this whole entire world would understand and really grasp honoring God, there'd be no choice but revival everywhere. Everywhere. You're not always strongest in your strengths. Sometimes you're the strongest in your weaknesses. Will you stand with me, church? I want to pray for you, and then I just want to give a charge to you to see what God is saying. I pray that today, as we close up honor, our theme for the month, I pray that today God spoke to you in honor. And we need to give honor where honor is due. God deserves our honor. He deserves our sacrifice. He deserves our holy reverence. He deserves the fear of God. Don't be afraid of him. See, fear of God is an honoring of God. It's not a, oh, don't smite me. Dude, this isn't the Old Testament anymore. Jesus came. Jesus came. There's grace and mercy and love, but you must honor him. Cheap grace is cheap. If you know that God has forgiven you, quit going back to it. It's like, what do they say? It's like a dog returning to his vomit. That's what it's like to keep sinning in the same sin. I'm gonna eat that. I'm gonna eat that again, right? It's nasty. That's what God looks at. It's like nasty. It's like, why? Don't you know I got fresh food right here? Quit eating that nasty stuff. Let's honor the Lord. Amen. I'll pray for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never accepted him into your life, and you've never said, I must follow after you, Jesus. I have a lot of stuff in my life. I lay my head down at night, and I have a lot of regrets. I got a lot of pain. I got a lot of sorrow. I'm even maybe facing a physical battle, or there's something going on in my family, and I don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to go. And something about this place right now, and something about that preacher up there saying something that I must have. Let me tell you, Jesus died for you. And he didn't just die and stay on a cross. He went into a tomb. It was prophesied that he'd stay in that tomb. But it was also prophesied from long before, people that heard God's voice that said that in 3 days he would rise from that. And not just rise spiritually like, oh, all of a sudden he's alive. No, he is alive. There is no body anymore. He's alive. He's the beginning of the resurrected bodies. It says in the last days, when Jesus comes, we'll all have resurrected bodies, those who believed and followed him. And he is the first of the beginning of those resurrected bodies. And why is that important? Because any other person or any other thing that you may be worshiping is dead. But Jesus will never die. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And we serve a risen, alive Savior. And if you don't know this Savior, and you say, it says in God's word, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Now, I'm not going to give you a watered down, cheap version of what that means. That's the beginning. If all you do is say a prayer and live however you want, that prayer is null and void. It did not matter. But if you say a prayer, that's the beginning of forever. Jesus says this, once you do that, he says, come and follow me. Come and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll bring you on the greatest adventures that you've ever seen. I'll take you to the places that you wouldn't even know about. I will lead you in the ways of everlasting. I will show you what lasts forever. The treasures you have here on earth are like straw, and they're going to burn away. But the things that are going to last forever are eternal. Let me show you those things. I'm going to take you places. And guess what? I'm not just going to take you and leave you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to fight for you, and I'm going to protect you. Our God loves us intimately and deeply, and he died for us, and he rose from the grave, and he's here this today. His spirit is here today. And when you confess in your mouth, you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, your spirit is revived. It's alive again. It's alive. It was dead, and now it's alive. And you have to have a live spirit to go to heaven, because if you have a dead spirit, there's a place called hell, and it's really hot. And it's full of sin. It's full of gnashing of teeth. It's the worst place you could ever think of. And it's like that times a million. And it's forever. But Jesus came that we could have forever with him. With every head bowed and eyes closed. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you just raise your hand, I want to just recognize you and I just want to pray for you. I see that hand, rededication of that hand. I see that again. Is there anybody else in here that wants to honor God with their life and saying, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ? Maybe you've never done it before. Maybe you want to rededicate your life because you've been going down the wrong things and you believe the wrong things. And Jesus says, come back to me. Is there anybody else? I saw one hand. Anyone else? I see that other hand. Is there anyone else in here? I see that other hand. I see that other hand. Is there anyone else? There's four hands I see. Is there anyone else today? I see five hands in the back. I see that. Is there anyone else today that says, I need to give God my life today? I must honor him. Amen. Amen. Here in a moment, if you raised your hand, if you're brave enough, I want to just encourage you to come up here. They won't look at you any different. They're going to actually celebrate you. The Bible says that when somebody gives their heart back to God or gives their heart to God for the first time, all of heaven throws a party. They celebrate. And then God's word says we can have that kind of thing here on earth. So we do the same thing as soon as you say this prayer. And we're going to help you in any way we can. We have an altar team that's going to come down and write your name down, get some information from you once we pray for you. And the mere fact what that's for is we want to get you a Bible. I'm going to write in it. I'm going to say some things. I'm going to pray over it. I'm going to give it to you. And then we're going to help you. We're going to call you and check up on you and see if there's anything that you need. Because that's what it's like to be family. We need to stand together. That's what we're going to do. Rest of you, church, honor God with all your sacrifices. Honor God with all that you are. We're going to sing a worship song before we go. And if you want to lay anything at the altar, there's a giant altar right here. Or get in your pew, turn around, lay your face before him. See, why do we get on our knees? Because that's an attitude and a position of honor, but also of humility. So if you need to do that and you physically can, I encourage you to get on your knees and ask the Lord, whatever it is that he spoke to you today, give it to him. Give it to him. If you raised your hand, will you come and join me up here at the front? And I'm just gonna pray with you right here in this corner. Just come on up. You can come up now if you want. If you brought a friend or something, they can come up with you. Come on up. Come on up. And yeah, give them a hand, church. Amen. Amen. I know there's like three or four over here. There's another one coming. Somebody help her. Will you guide her down here, please? Thank you. Amen. Awesome. Miss Angie. There's some other hands. This is a great opportunity just to come. I'm going to start praying here in a moment. Timmy, come on up, man. Awesome. Anybody else? Amen. Awesome. They're going to turn off my mic in a moment, and I'm going to pray with them, and we're going to get the altar team to come up and pray with me here in a second, and this is your time just to give it to the Lord. Feel free to go whenever you want after we're done worshiping, but make sure you don't, if you're supposed to lay something down, don't miss this opportunity. Right? Pizza Ranch will wait. Right? They got enough chicken, they just keep on making it. Right? So don't you worry about that. You do what God says over what your flesh says. Right? You do what God says, even if your spouse says, we got to get going. Listen, I honor God above you right now. And I'm sorry, honey. I got to lay something down right now. I apologize. I know we got to go, but give me 5 minutes. I got to give this to God. I got to give this to God. I got to give this to God. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you as he starts to sing, and then we're going to worship together. If you're going to talk, head on out. We love you. Go change the world. The world changer lives in you. We love you.